Reminder, I put this on my note to say it every week, so you're going to hear it for like how many more weeks in the year? A lot. 45 maybe. But write a thought down, and you're allowed to use your phone to do that, because that's what people do now. But write a thought down and pray about it and ask God to lead you to truth, to lead you, to guide you to truth. And so I want to encourage you to do that. That's how we grow in the Lord. 2017 is a year to rejoice. I knew that when we did this topic, to rejoice in 2017, there is going to come storms. And you're going to be like, Pastor, you didn't know what you're talking about. And I really believe that God's working with us, teaching us how to be at peace and rejoice even through storms. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean you don't have a rough day. But at the end, down at the bottom of your heart, as you're going through stuff, you know that all is well. God's going to do something amazing. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, I knew it. I just knew God was going to do something amazing, and He did. So rejoice in 2017. A few weeks back, Pastor Blaine, you remember Pastor Blaine? He came and he taught to us, and I kind of been doing a summary or details of what he talked about. But he talked about three things, and many of you may remember them. Number one was abundant timing, being at the right place at the right time, right? But in order to be in the right place at the right time, you got to be about your Father's business, right? Yeah. Right? They were not going to get into the Red Sea if Moses wasn't doing his Father's business. And that's the same for us. Be at the right place, right time. Be in church when you can, and learn and read your Bible and listen to Christian music and feed the Word into your heart. Right place, right time. And then he talked about abundant courage. Abundant courage. And we talked about that last week, how Esther had courage to say, if I perish, I perish. But we know the rest of the story. And today I want to focus on the third thing he talked about, was abundant wisdom. I want to go into this right away because it's a lot, but I want you to absorb this in your heart and ask God to lead you and guide you into understanding. No one has an excuse not to be wise. Amen? No one has an excuse not to be wise. If you turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, I didn't just make that up. You know, pastor's job is to go and study and then pray and then ask God for guidance on what the truth of the Word of God is. And that's the responsibility. And it doesn't mean that I'm always right, by the way. I tell the story all the time. I listened one time to a tape because, you know, we used to do tapes. Y'all remember when we had tapes? Not CDs. And I listened to one time about 10 years later. And I was like, I don't even know if I believe that anymore, what I just preached on there. But I knew that as you grow in the Lord, God knows what He's doing. People still got saved in that message. But God knows better. He knows what He's doing. And we're learning. So James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabradeth not, and it shall be given him. If you could just turn me up a little bit. I'm barely hearing myself. Oh, that's better. That's good. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Oh. Well, do you want me to go to the other mic? All right.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given unto him. Okay, so the Bible tells us, if you lack wisdom, what? Ask. I'm not a rocket scientist. Are any of you rocket scientists? No? A few of you? But that's pretty clear to me that if we need wisdom, if we want wisdom, that God says ask. But here's the thing. When you ask, your heart behind why you're asking has a lot to do with whether your eyes open. Because if we're asking for wisdom because we want to fulfill our objective, our own agenda in life, then we may remain blinded to some truths. But if we ask for wisdom with the heart, I want to use this wisdom to enhance the kingdom of God, it's going to come. I hope you're grabbing this, because this is stuff that if you're just listening with your ears, just like, it's just boring. But if you're hearing with your spirit, you're going to get it. If you're asking for wisdom in order to run your own agenda, run your own will, you're going to be blinded. But if you're asking for wisdom with the heart of increasing the kingdom of God, helping, serving, humbly serving others, and with everything that Jesus taught us, the floodgates are going to open and wisdom will begin to flow through you. Amen? Amen. Wisdom is for all. Wisdom for all. If any of you, not some of you, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. So I want to establish this before we go any further. This has nothing to do with your IQ, with Einstein's theory or relativity. This is not about intelligence whatsoever, because none of us have an excuse not to be wise, but many of us have an excuse not to be smart. Because I know when Pastor Green was in junior high or elementary, I don't know what it was, he would be in school, would say, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and would go home to the bathroom because he didn't want to be in school. Was it kindergarten? Okay, thank you for clarifying. Many of us have made the choices and we haven't received maybe some knowledge because, you know, we didn't want to study or do this or do that, right? We got plenty of excuses for that. But wisdom, none of you have an excuse. None of you. So here, I'm going to just kind of briefly define wisdom so that we know what we're talking about. Wisdom defined. Wisdom is doing what is right from God's perspective. We're talking about godly wisdom here. We're not talking about man's wisdom. Godly wisdom. Doing what is right from God's perspective. When you do what is right from God's perspective, you will reap bountiful blessings. Proverbs 3, chapter 13, if you'll turn there. Proverbs 3, chapter 13. Let no mercy and truth forsake thee. Oh, that's not 3:13. That was 3:13 says, happy, and in some interpretations it says blessed. In other interpretations. Happy, blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. When you receive wisdom, godly wisdom from God, you will run into blessings to and fro. Abundant blessing. And it's not because God favors one over another. Why don't I have as many blessings? And so we don't understand how God works in each and every one of us. It's like when you are a parent and you have a child and you kind of help one more than the other because they need it. The kids don't understand that. From the kids' perspective, you favor that child. From the parents' perspective, you want the best for them, for all of them. So blessings come to those who have wisdom. You can have an IQ like Einstein and have no godly wisdom. Amen? You can have the best IQ in the world and have no godly wisdom. Example of wisdom. Let me put this in an example. And let's use the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is do not lie. Amen. Once you lie, once you took the cookie from the cookie jar, and mama said, "Who ate that cookie?" And you said, "I don't know." And then you have chocolate right here. Remember that time? Once you lied from taking this cookie, the right thing to do is to repent, right, and move on. But that is not wisdom. That is repenting. Amen? Visualize that. Okay. Wisdom would be not to put yourself in the situation to lie. That makes sense? Do not put yourself in situations to make bad decisions. Amen? That's wisdom. That's thinking way ahead. So many of you may have stuff in your life that you struggle with that contradict God's word, or maybe sin, or stuff you're going through, or things that you're battling in your personal life. Wisdom is putting yourself, is avoiding being in situations that can get you in trouble. And the opposite is wisdom is starting to make the decisions that lead you to make the right decisions according to His word. So going to church is wise. Not going to church is unwise. You know it to be true. You stop going to church for like 3 months, 6, you're like lost, right? And church doesn't save you. I love Alyssa said that beautifully. Church doesn't save you, but it is wise to go and hear the word. And then write a thought down and do it, read it for yourself, and let the Spirit lead you to truth. So another of the Ten Commandments, and I wanted to touch on this one too, because it kind of puts it in another perspective. It brings home the point about wisdom. Another commandment said, "Thou shalt not have any other God before me." It takes godly wisdom to recognize when you have put something before God. This is a tough one for all of us, because we love God, but we get so busy with life, we start putting things before God. Let me give you an example from me personally. You know, I was young, teenager, probably still a teenager. And, you know, baseball was really, in a lot of ways, the sport of baseball helped me to block off the problems in my life, or the struggles, or my home life. The violence there and the things going on that I just didn't want to think about, deal with, the hurts, everything. And baseball was a way for me to, wow, like I'm in my own world. You know, everyone has that, right? Like, wow, I'm shopping. Wow, this is awesome, right? You all have that too. The Cowboys are on. That's all I need. Oh, go, right? You know what I mean, right? You just, this, oh, it's an escape. And that's what it was for me. It was an escape. So I loved it. Well, I watch it passionately and listen to it on the radio, watching my baseball team and all that. And I told the story a few weeks back to some others, but I want to repeat it. And I had just got to the point in my life when God had just changed me completely. Like, you know, I wasn't going through the motions anymore. I was just like reading my Bible, praying, and just God changed my life. And I was on this journey, and it was awesome. But I had an important baseball game to listen to one night. Very important. And so I remember I was praying, and every day I would always make time, and it came time for me to pray, and the game was on, and I'm like, okay, I'll just wait till the game finishes, you know. And okay, so game's going on. At that time, I listened to it on the radio. I didn't have cable. So time goes on, and next thing you know, extra innings. Uh-oh. 10th inning, 11th inning, 12th inning. I believe it was inning number 17, 2, 1 a.m. in the morning, 12:30, something like that. And I remember, I'm supposed to pray and read my Bible. That's what I've committed to. And I was like, just one more inning. And all of a sudden, my radio just turns off. Just, I didn't even go check to see if it got unplugged. I didn't check to see anything. I just had this spiritual, I know what just happened. Got my Bible out, read. I fell asleep. And I woke up the next day, turned on the radio, and it worked. And I just knew I put something before God. And it was like a revelation. Wisdom. It takes wisdom. But you have to have a heart for God to receive the wisdom. And I remember that day. I'll never forget it. It was a big turning point in my life. It changed me. It doesn't mean I never listened to another baseball game again. So I'm not telling you Cowboy fans that to give it. It just meant when it's time to be in church or to be where God is, it's time. Amen? Wisdom. So don't put other gods before you. When our spiritual fulfillment is based on earthly things or earthly institutions, even a church, as Alyssa mentioned, or religion, that could be putting something before the living God. The best illustration of this, and I mean, many of you may think, well, church, I mean, how do you see? You can make church a god because you're serving it and forgetting the relationship with God. They worshiped the Pharisees. Here's the perfect example to illustrate this. The Pharisees worshiped the Jewish traditions and temple and the Jewish church. They worshiped it. They worshiped it so much that they missed the Messiah. They could not see it. Is it because they were intellectually dumb? They were the smartest. Intellectually, they were the most learned. But they missed it. Why? Their eyes were closed because they had another God in the form of religion. And it closed them. And what I want us this morning to realize is that we need to have our eyes open. It's about the relationship. So, it is not wise to put other things before God. Wisdom would be not to put yourself in a situation that would cause you to put earthly things first. Whether it's religion, whether it's church, whether it's baseball. Wisdom is being able to leave God first in all situations. All that being said, gathering in church together is important and biblical. The purpose of church gatherings is fellowship, encouragement, edifying one another, worshiping the Lord, instruction. But it is not to replace your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Wisdom. It takes wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, God's word says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." There's a lot of intellectual people that are blind to wisdom. But all of us have access with a pure heart, with a humble heart, as we read in James chapter 1, verse 5, all of us have access to the floodgates of wisdom. Amen? Isn't that exciting? The world's wisdom is foolish, according to Scripture. Even when we get advice from counsel from godly men or women, it is our responsibility to verify with Holy Scriptures what is wisdom, what is God's truth, right? All of us. It is good to have wise counsel, but don't rely solely on the wise counsel. You need to have your own relationship with God. Amen? It's important that if you need to talk to the pastor, that you do. Help me with this thought. Help me with that thought. But at the end of the day, you rely on the Spirit of God leading you into truth. You take that counsel, you compare it to Scripture, and you read it. And if you don't understand it, you ask questions. That's all good. But ultimately, it's between you and God, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It is between you and God. You know, I think Kathleen said this one time that her grandma told her, there are no grandchildren in heaven, which means you can't get to heaven because you're riding the backs of a church or a mother or a father. You got to have your own relationship. I like the scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's between you and God. Let's go to Scripture to just confirm that thought. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. You know, Timothy was a young man, which Paul really, really looked up. I mean, really was teaching him. This is how a church works, and this is, you know, you honor authority, and he's teaching him all these things. And then he says this to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. This relationship is personal. There is only one mediator between man and God, and that is the name of Jesus. Any other way you try to have a relationship with God, it would fail. It's not real. You can try to have a relationship with God. You can't even have a relationship with God through a church or through a pastor or through a godly mother or father. The relationship with God is between man and the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Wisdom. If you're hearing this morning, some of you may be relying the fact that you go to church to be your relationship with God. That's not what I just read. But there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus Christ. It's not an earthly thing. It's not an earthly person. It's not an earthly institution. It is Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. Wisdom. Wisdom. So you may be coming in this morning and I'm going to church and I'm with Christians, so my relationship is good. It works for a little while. There's a little emotional part, right? Like worshiping together, God's prayer. No, that's nice. I feel good. I feel... A relationship is hard work. Wisdom can grasp that. If you are not working hard for your mediator of Jesus Christ between you and God, if you're not working hard at that relationship, you're trusting something else. Amen? Oh, stepping on toes, but that's okay. I want you guys to get it because there's wisdom. And God has blessings for people with wisdom. Put yourself in the right place. So when we teach, read your Bible and pray every day, you don't do it because the church said it or the pastor said it. There's no relationship there. But when you open that Bible and say, Lord, I'm doing this because I'm working my relationship with you right now. I'm praying on my knees even though I'm tired and I don't understand the situation. But I'm working my relationship with you right now because I know in there, there's signs and wonders, there's miracles. I can count on you when I need you. Because we're close. When you have a close friend, you can count on them to help you when your car breaks down. So you don't have a relationship with God through institutions or people. It's personal. Only one mediator between God and man. It's personal. It's Jesus Christ. That's where it is. That's why I love that song, In the Secret Place. To me, it hasn't gotten old in 2 years. That song. It's just because it's about in that secret place. You only go into a secret place with a close friend. Amen. And that's, it's personal. It's Jesus. And this morning, get the wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Many of you, you're going through those motions where you think that going to church and doing this is the relationship. No, it's not. It's needed for edification, for learning, for teaching. But it is not to replace your relationship with God. Our relationship with God is personal. The Bible says the relationship is between man and God through Jesus. Not between your mother, father, and God. Not between you and your pastor and God. Not even between you and the church or this or that. It is a personal relationship. My hope is that everyone in this room, in this church, knows that you have access to your Heavenly Father through Jesus. He's your personal friend. Amen. Receive that wisdom. Get into that secret place. Like any relationship, it takes hard work, effort to grow the relationship. The easy way out of working your relationship with God is to have someone else work it for you. That's not a relationship. Don't let the church work it out for you. Please don't miss. Church is important for edification, but don't let the church replace your relationship with God. Don't let a person, a pastor, replace your relationship with God. I feel very strongly that my responsibility is to teach everyone from this congregation that the answer is not me, it's not a place. The answer is Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Amen. And when you are close with Him and you need Him, 911, He's there. He'll be there. Trust Him. But you'll know it. You'll know He's there with you. So the best wisdom you can have right now is to whatever you've been doing up to today, scratch it off. I'm going to work at this relationship. Because that's what wise people do. And when I do that, I know I can count on Him. He's my friend. He's my friend. If you look at man, they'll lead you astray. You can ask me for a thought or an opinion. And I'll tell you, I'll give you my best. You know, I'll tell you what I think according to Scripture. But not every good idea is God's idea. Maybe I'll say, you know, it's best for you to get this and go college here and there. And yeah, that sounds like the right answer. But wisdom is being able to hear the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. And you have to have a relationship for that to happen. Amen? The easy way out is to let someone else work the relationship. Church, Every one of you work the relationship with God. It's vital. It's our lifeblood. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. Get your sustenance, right, from Jesus Christ, from His Word. And Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. He told His disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And after that, the apostles were being led by the Spirit of God. And then after that, Timothy was being led by the Spirit of God. And so we are being led by the Spirit of God. Wisdom. It takes wisdom to figure out your godly relationship. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. You know, a long time ago, Pastor Green gave me these little things so I can go right to the scripture. So you all think that, like, I know where everything is, but they're all marked, right? But for many, many times, I just ignored him because I had more wisdom, you know, and stuff. And I know as time has gone on, like, I end up doing the things that, you know, because they help, right? What I'm saying is, don't be stubborn. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware. Here's the main point about this. Godly wisdom keeps Jesus as the main focus. 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware when intelligence and philosophy, even religious thought, beware when these things come, traditional things that may not be scriptural, or you can't even let tradition go before Christ and the leading of the Spirit. That's what it says here. Be careful. Beware. Beware of anything that is trying to get you to move in a direction spiritually where Christ isn't the cornerstone. That's why wisdom is understanding the relationship, working that relationship. Because many people go astray because of a good thought. Many doctrines are created because of a great thought. Always come back. I do this in my life. When life gets complicated, when I can't figure things out, when I don't understand everything in the scriptures, and I want to, I have to come back to that secret place, to that simple place, where it's just like Mary and Martha sitting at Jesus' feet, saying, Lord, when you want to reveal it to me, I'm ready. I pray for wisdom. Just simplify it for me, Lord, because I want to be about your business. See, that's wisdom. Learning to sit at Jesus' feet. Wisdom. Getting yourself in a situation, avoiding situations that get you in trouble, that's wisdom. 1 Corinthians, last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to end with this thought right here. Who knows God? Who knows God? You don't have to answer the question. It's a rhetorical question. We're going to answer it together. Who knows God? Who knows God? All His truths. Who knows it? I can tell you there's nothing on this earth that knows it all. Nobody. And if you hear somebody say they know it all, run. I completely understand the Bible from head to toe, everything in it, all the mysteries, I got it. You run. Who knows God? We're going to read it right here. And I, brethren, Paul's saying, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellent speech, right? Of great wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I already determined to know anything among you, save I only wanted to tell you one thing, he said. Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. That's all I want to tell you. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, you don't need man's wisdom, intellectual thought, to change the world. You just need a relationship with the one who knows all. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing demonstrations or man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That the reason I did this is that your faith should not be in that wisdom, but in the power of God. Any one of you right here in this place can pray and have a relationship, fast, if that's what you need to do. Get on your knees. Come out. And God opens the door for you to pray for somebody. You pray and they get healed. How much intellectual thought did you need for that? How much man's wisdom? If you got the power of God, and all of us, we read, have access to this wisdom. And Paul demonstrated the power. It wasn't about man's wisdom. He said, for your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Everyone in this place could be that person that I just described. Praying. Fasting. You know, the Jesus talks about fasting. For these things that where the devil needs to be cast out, these things require fasting. These, you have a situation in your home where the enemy's attacking, don't be afraid to fast. For the sole purpose, the fasting is about the relationship. It's like telling a friend, I'm willing to give this up for the better of this. And you fast in that same kind of mindset. I'm going to give this up for the betterment of the kingdom, or for God to move in this situation so God can get the glory. Amen? Somebody has to write that down. Sometimes it's time to fast. Howbeit we speak, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory. A lot of hidden stuff that we, wisdom that intellectuals can't grasp, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they knew of all this wisdom, all this knowledge and wisdom, well, let me stick to wisdom because knowledge is a separate. But all this wisdom, if they knew it, if they were wise, they would not have crucified our Lord and Savior. I covered that. The Pharisees could not see it. They didn't have the wisdom to see it because they were letting other things be the relationship, the temple, the Jewish law. They let that become their God, and they couldn't see it. I don't know about you, but it's not worth letting man teach me all truths. I'm going to get that from one source. And when he's ready, his word says, ask for wisdom, and he'll be glad to give it. Let me skip to verse 10. The question I asked was, who knows God? All the truth. Who knows this? But God has revealed him unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The answer to our question, who knows God? No man, only the Spirit of God. So when you have someone telling you, I got all the truths, I got all doctrine, I got it. Well, you'll know by the fruits, of course, of the person. But who knows God? Only God. Only God. Wisdom. So I pray today that you've come to church. You've heard a message about wisdom. And really, it's about your relationship. Don't substitute your church with your relationship. Don't substitute people. Teenagers, don't think because your parents are going to heaven that you're right on, you can catch their coattails and get in. Wisdom is working the relationship to be Jesus' friend so that when you need him, he's there. He's a friend to us all. He hears your prayers. Wisdom for all. That's the title of this message. Wisdom is for all. Start making the right decisions, godly wisdom. Start putting yourself in situations where godly wisdom comes to you. And stop making decisions that lead you to stealing the cookie from the cookie jar. Just don't go into the kitchen. Amen? That's wisdom. If you have trouble or someone you know has trouble with alcohol, don't drive them to the convenience store. Wisdom. Stay out. Wisdom for all. We're going to close.